So this month we're coming towards the end of February, but this month our theme has been trust in God. And there's a question that I think we've all wrestled with, and not in an abstract way. I think it can really provoke some real fear and real pain, and that is, will God provide me with what I need? Will God provide what I need? And I know that for a lot of people that we deal with every day, and also the people in this congregation, that isn't just a theoretical question that is unrelated to your reality. It is often in the midst of what you're dealing with, what we're dealing with, that question comes up again and again and again. But I'm convinced, though, that the Bible contains rich resources, and sometimes in an unlikely story. So if you've got your Bibles, or if you don't, I'll read it to you, but if you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings 17, 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're just going to read the first seven verses, 1 Kings chapter 17. And it starts like this. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now that story takes place during Ahab's reign in Israel. Now Ahab was a bad dude, okay? In 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 30, it says, "Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him." So he was a bad guy. He was a king, but he was a bad king. He officially replaced the true God of Israel with a poser called Baal. He then turned the people's hearts towards this false god until God raised up a prophet to turn their hearts back to himself. God showed his power over Baal by cutting off the water supply and telling Elijah to leave home and wait for provision in a brook. There Elijah was enrolled in the Seminary of Affliction, the School of Hard Knocks. His training didn't center on giving better prophetic speeches or growing a bigger ministry, but instead, God told Elijah to trust him, leading him with a simple promise. "I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." And each day, that's exactly what he did. You know, Sarah and I, we were talking the other day, we were talking about Sarah's mum, and as you know, she passed recently. And one of the great joys for us, it's tinged with sadness though, is that we know where she is. We know that she's with her Saviour and that we are destined to see her again shortly. We also know that she's probably caught up on all the things we didn't tell her when she was alive. But one of the other things we were just thankful for is where our lives are at the moment, how God has blessed us and what God has done in our lives, and you know, the journey that we've been on. But there have been several times where we were asking that question, will God supply all my needs, all our needs? And there were times when we just couldn't see the possibility, or we couldn't see the answer that God had for us in our circumstance. I remember looking at the kids. My kids were asleep, and Sarah and I were wondering how we were going to feed them. At the same time, we had some of our street whānau were living in our home as well. And we were wondering how we're going to feed them too. And then a friend of ours dropped off some supplies from Nourish for Nil, and we were able to give some food to our kids and get through that next day. And then the day after that, we get a check from the power company, which allows us to buy some groceries. And then the next following week, we had somebody from church kind of turn up with some other stuff. Things would happen. I have to say, we had to learn there were different ways God was going to meet our need. You know, I thought I trusted God. Then I'd go and buy a lotto ticket and tell God how he needed to make me win so that we wouldn't have any worries. He didn't meet our need that way, unfortunately. But he has met every need we've had. You know, as God's children, we too can have great confidence that he will care for our needs. And just like God told Elijah to trust him, telling him, "I have commanded the ravens to feed you there," God can provide a solution that doesn't seem like it's very ordinary or it's very normal. I want to give you four ways to grow your trust in God's faithful provision. Number one is this: rest in God's promises. Promises are interesting things. My kids would promise all sorts of stuff. I promise I'll clean my room. I promise I'll do the dishes. Actually, that's me. That's me that says that stuff. Sorry, babe. But God isn't like men with his promises. The Lord won't always care for you in the same way he cares for others. Nor will he always care for you in ways he has in the past. But he will care for you. Let me say that again. He won't always care for you in the same way he cares for others. So when you see God doing things in other people's lives and you go, "Oh, God, do that for me too," he might have something completely different for you. And it may not be something you've experienced in the past. I have experienced God's provision for me in many ways over my lifetime. But I can't keep expecting him to meet my needs exactly the same way every time, because he's the creative God. He comes up with some amazing ways to care for us. Even as a church, incredible ways. God allowed a flood to happen in our old building, a terrible flood that affected a couple of, almost half the building was locked off, we couldn't use it. And it seemed so terrible for us that that would happen. Until we got an insurance claim that helped us pay off the mortgage on the building. That's kind of crazy, right? The very thing that seemed like it was the worst disaster, God met our need. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, I'll read two verses from there, verse 26, where he says this: "Look at the birds of the air, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" He's talking about you and I. You're more valuable than them. And verse 33 says this: "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Or as Paul puts it in Philippians, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." The ravens were cared for by God so they could care for Elijah. And God will also care for you because you're his child. So that's number one. Rest in God's promises. He's promised to take care of you. He's promised that. Number two, remember God's past faithfulness. Think about and remember what God has done already in your lives. I'm sure there are people who come in during the week and get some breakfast or lunch or have a meeting with Sarah in the clinic or get some other type of care, who never thought that they would have a friendship or a relationship with someone like me. Who never thought that a pastor of a church might be a friend of theirs. But just think about some of the ways God has met your need. God taught Elijah to trust early in his ministry. I wonder how often he later thought back to his days with the ravens and was encouraged to trust God afresh. How has God provided for you in the past? How has he shown faithfulness in days gone by? Have you considered any of those things recently? Do you know it's incredibly difficult to complain when you're grateful and thankful? When you've got something to be thankful for, it's very difficult to complain. And I notice people who are always complaining often have forgotten all of the things that have been done already. All of the good things that have occurred, they're not grateful for. They ignore them just to look at the things they don't have. This lesson of remembering God's past faithfulness is essential because there will be days when divine provision appears to cease. You know, towards the end of the last year, Connect Community Trust was pretty low on finances. There was a freeze on funding from a lot of organisations because the government had changed. And so people were nervous about what they were going to do with finances and where it was going to go. And it was going to have an impact on our organisation. I was like, man, this is getting serious. I've got staff that I employ. We've got people who are dependent on the service we provide. And what will happen if we have to shut the doors? What was amazing, though, was through the holiday period, I met with some of our partners and our supporters, and at a period when nobody was providing any funding, they turned around and were able to source some funding for us in that period. And it kept us going. It sustained us. And we're incredibly grateful to God for that opportunity. Elijah experienced this kind of moment when divine provision appeared to cease, when it says the brook dried up. The brook is a little creek, a river, a source of water, and it dried up. See, God doesn't just train his children to trust him in one situation. He often changes our circumstances to teach us to trust him in new ways. So when you face the uncertainties of tomorrow, summon your heart to rest in your memories of God's faithfulness. I don't know what challenges we're going to face later this year. I don't know what personal challenges I'm going to face. I don't know what challenges you're going to face, whether they're financial, whether it's to do with your health, whether it's whānau, whatever it is. But what we can trust is God's faithfulness, and we should call to mind those times when God has been faithful to us. Why don't you write down ways he's been faithful to you, provided for you in the past? Mark those moments. And if you get the opportunity, share them with other people. You don't know how encouraging that can be. One of the reasons I like to share about God's faithfulness and goodness to me is to remind myself that I'm dependent on him even now. That I could have whatever I wanted, but it wouldn't be enough compared to my need of my Saviour. Invite other people to share their memories of God's faithfulness. Encourage one another to remember our God is always faithful. Number three. Be ready for God's peculiar provisions. So Elijah was homeless, in a gorge, with birds bringing him scraps from who knows where. That's weird. Why did God send him to a ditch with a stream rather than to the mighty Jordan River? And why the ravens? They were unclean scavengers. Surely it was the last way a Jewish prophet would have suspected provision to come. But isn't that like our God? He often puts us in peculiar situations so he can be glorified in his peculiar supply. Elijah never missed a meal in that valley. And through that peculiar provision, God taught his servant that he would care for him without fail. When you feel hemmed in and see no way your needs will be met, and trust me, I've had those moments. I continue to have them every now and again where I'm thinking, I don't know how, God, you're going to get us through this or what you're going to do. But remember that God always keeps his promises, even if it's in peculiar ways. You know, I don't want to be somebody who misses what God is doing because it seems a little bit unusual or out of the ordinary. Because the truth is, God is all of those things: unusual, out of the ordinary, beyond what we can imagine. He's wild. He's untamed. I don't want to miss those opportunities for God to turn up and do what he wants to do, especially not for us as a church. You know, I talked to some mentors and people on our apostolic council. They're people that sit outside of the church who help us with a few things. And one day I was talking to one of them about what we were doing, what I was doing, and I felt like what we were doing was what God had asked us to do, but it just seemed weird and unusual. And I asked him, like, do you think I'm being a bit weird? He goes, yeah. He said, but that's kind of what's wrong with that? I went, oh. He says, are you willing to do whatever God asks, even if it's a bit weird? I went, yeah. He said, then don't worry about it. I said, okay. And another thing, like with our, you know, when we're talking about some of the challenges we have with behaviors and our during our work during the week, one of the things I always remember is weird is fine. Weird is okay. You know, I often recall some of the times people would come into church and the different way people look, how they talk, you know, how they move, whatever. Weird is fine. And so we've got that, like one of our little things for our team is weird is okay, abuse isn't. So you want to come in here with a pink mohawk, you want to dance in tap shoes, wearing a tutu, that's fine. Maybe I'll do that one Sunday. I'll preach my sermon in expressive dance. That'd be awesome. And what's number four? Rejoice in God's present provision. And one thing I try and do is think about what God is doing in my life right now and rejoice in that, what's happening. In your current struggle, be careful not to overlook the tables that God has spread before you now. Don't push his plate of grace aside to make room for worry. Matthew 6:34 says, do not be anxious about tomorrow. And Jesus said, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Take a pause. Think about today. Think about right now. If you're eating lunch today and it tastes good, enjoy that it tastes good. Rejoice that it's not poisonous. Are you rejoicing for the provision that he's given you today? Or are you fixated on what you fear you won't have tomorrow? God may not give us everything we want, but he always gives us what we need. He promises daily bread, not daily bounty. He has enormous bounty for us, but he promises us daily bread. Yes, sometimes he gives both, but often we must travel through dark valleys before entering green pastures. And I know a lot of you know what I'm talking about. You know, Elijah didn't get chubby in that valley outside Jerusalem. His pockets weren't getting full. His prophetic portfolio, his ministry wasn't improving, but his faith was being made strong. Each time his belly growled, his heart was being trained to say in faith, "The ravens are coming. The ravens are coming." When we're tempted to doubt our Father's faithfulness, we need not look further than his provision of Jesus Christ. All God's gifts of grace are intended like breadcrumbs to lead us down a path to a hill called Calvary, where we see this ultimate gift, the Son of God, who lived, who died, and rose again to give us eternal life. In him, we have an ironclad promise that one day we'll be in that place where the river never runs dry, because it flows from the throne of the Almighty. I want to finish with this passage from the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations." You know, there are four kind of simple things, really. Rest in God's promises. Remember God's past faithfulness. Be ready for God's peculiar provisions. And rejoice in God's present provision for us right now. Father, I pray that as we have considered your word this morning, as the Holy Spirit has spoken to us, Lord, I pray that you would quicken in our spirits